denaturalization of America.
It was really in the Obama administration where the point was made, you can be whatever you want to be and still be an American. Just come on in.
Now, what Obama did that day was, strictly speaking, illegal. By offering amnesty to Dreamers, the U.S. Congress will incentivize more foreign nationals to flood into the country. And that's the whole point of it. That's why Obama did it a decade ago.
Because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers, but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
This is incomprehensible. This is the denationalization of the country. And a big part of that is throw open your borders and let anybody come in who wants to come in. And that's what Washington wants. They want to denationalize us.
That's treason. Why would you do that to our country? You thought allowing this many people in was beneficial?
Because they're rewarded financially for doing so. How could any of these congressmen with a clear conscience or senators do that? All I have to do is check their bank accounts. Who's donating to them? Who are their donors? Who are their sponsors? Who are the political action committees that are pouring money into their re-election campaigns? Washington is all about money.
I think it's deeply corrupt. I think the lobbyists run the show most of the times. I think people are more interested in servicing their PAC fundraiser than they are the needs of their constituents. And it's a grift game.
I believe in this so much. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, all of them, undocumented, documented.
That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
When Biden came in, all that work was done for him. All he had to do was sign and stamp. That's where we should be right now with the Trump.
I'm a Trump supporter because I believe he is the shield to block us. But I want to know specifics. The world's largest deportation force.
We are going to have the largest deportation effort in the history of our country.
Okay, if you're serious, let's get started right now. Where are the drafts of these orders that have to be issued? And then who's on the team advising how to do this?
That's the key part, sir, is I want to know names. I want to know who are your advisors? Who are you hiring? Are you hiring men like me to come in and talk to you? I doubt it. Are they hiring you, sir?
Remember, the donors are the ones who control everything. It's the people who are funding the campaigns, and they determine who's going to end up doing what. And people have to understand that one election isn't going to do it because you're dealing with the Senate. The Senate doesn't want to approve anybody that's going to change anything. So you elect a president, doesn't matter who he is. Now you have to deal with the Senate. You think Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer care about the border? Absolutely not. Totally disinterested.
It's not a one election. It's multiple, and it's the American people that are going to have to rise up.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
The most powerful senator in America, his initial gut reaction was like, well, dude, you're taking on the intelligence. I mean, you want to go up against the CIA? You think you're going to win that fight? Like, they're going to get you.
All of these things are weaponized against us. We know the Justice Department is weaponized against us. Merrick Garland is nobody's friend. Today, no one will talk to the FBI without an attorney present. These people don't share our views and values at all. In fact, they loathe us. That's the problem.
What is up, LFA TV? We are coming at you live from America. This is Matter of Fact, and I am your host, Ryan Matter. Thank you for joining us. Today is Wednesday, September 11th, and we are going to get into all things 9/11, considering it is September 11th, and we must never forget the American patriots who paid the ultimate price that day when our government allowed a terrorist organization to attack our country and did nothing to stop them. And I think all of the evidence, like, people are so waking up around America right now, you know, even from, like, I remember it was like yesterday, 9/11 last year, and you start to see the truth community, you see Tucker Carlson start talking about it, and Redacted starting to talk about it, and everybody's starting to come around and talk about it, right? Talking about the dancing Israelis. So if you guys haven't seen the memes, they're pretty legendary, but this basically kind of sums it up. Not really. I mean, they obviously weren't out there like this with like photo shoots, but they were literally dancing in front of the towers as the towers burned down. Here's the news clip they don't ever want you to see.
In the days after the September attacks, there were countless rumors about strange coincidences surrounding the events. One report about a group of Middle Eastern men spotted the morning of September 11th parked just across the river from New York City has not gone away. Investigation of their presence has led to questions about whether Israel was conducting espionage on U.S. soil. We're joined now by ABC's John Miller with an exclusive report this evening.
That's right, Elizabeth. This is a case that took the FBI and the CIA more than 2 months to sort out, while five Israelis waited in jail. It began when this woman was watching the Twin Towers burning from her apartment in New Jersey. She noticed three men on top of a van, posing for pictures with the towers burning in the background.
And I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked. I thought it was very strange.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli. They were turned over to the FBI. Sources tell ABC News, during a check of national security databases, some of the men were listed as having had connections with Israeli intelligence. At the FBI, that set off alarm bells. The FBI needed the answers to three important questions. Who were these men? What brought them to that parking lot on the morning of September 11th? And did they have any advance knowledge of what was going to happen that day? The men said they were just taking pictures at the time. They said they worked for a company called Urban Moving. The FBI obtained a search warrant for the company's offices.
Two SUVs were filled up with between 9 and 12 boxes and computers.
Not long after the arrests, the offices of Urban Moving were simply abandoned. Almost everything was left behind. In jail, the five Israelis were repeatedly interrogated and given lie detector tests. Stephen Gordon was their American lawyer.
They were asked questions if they had ever been approached by or hired by any non-United States intelligence community.
Yeah, and you guys remember who that was. We just covered that earlier this week. Who was the FBI director during 9/11? Anybody want to take a couple guesses here? I'm trying to find the video. I don't know if I still have it here on my desktop, but I'm pretty sure it was Robert Mueller. So there's definitely nothing getting covered up there, right? Definitely just look the other way. No, nothing to see here, right? Or maybe, just maybe, there is a little bit more to see here. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into all things Donald Trump tonight at the debate. Yesterday, absolutely destroying Kamala and exposing the fake news. Got a question for you. We got J.D. Vance over there. And it was pretty weird watching J.D. Vance or Trump go, yeah, I mean, I don't know what J.D. Vance was saying or if he was speaking for me or not, but I didn't say that, right? We're going to talk about a victim of child ritual sacrifice. So when our documentary releases, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that child sacrifice and human sacrifice is a thing. And there's these satanic cults all across America. And I want to take a little bit of this. So I want to get into that. Let's do that first, because I want to give this girl a big shout out. We're going to get Emma over on the podcast here, maybe on Friday, actually. So I'm going to try to do an interview with her tomorrow because I'll be out of town on Friday for the premiere of our documentary. So Emma tweets out, she says, my dad brought home an 8-year-old boy. My mom tied him up in the hallway, handed me a knife and said, Kibby, you kill him.
With Sam, I'm in a practice, and that is that when I was five, almost six, in December of 93, my dad brought home this 8-year-old, and all the other kids that were sacrificed were like babies or infants, and this 8-year-old comes home, and part of my mom, she kind of reminds me of Charles Manson. She literally got off to other people killing, like literally had sexual orgasms. And that included people in my family. And she also got off to, I'll speak for myself, me eating the human flesh as well, and other things around the rituals. She got off to a lot of it. She would use a lot of the abuse to literally get off to sexually. Like, she didn't go to a human being for sexual experiences. She went to the abuse she was doing for sexual experiences. Anyways, my dad brings home this 8-year-old boy in the winter. I'm in the Midwest. It's cold, it's snowy, and he's over for dinner. And throughout the whole evening, not the whole evening, like 2 hours prior, my mom's calling at the Last Supper. She's like, okay, get ready for the Last Supper. Get ready for the Last Supper. I wish I put two and two together. Anyways, my dad finally comes home. As she's preparing dinner, she's almost done preparing dinner. And my dad's like, this is Sam. This is your new brother. And I was so happy to have a brother. And he was so happy. He was so trusting. He was so full of light. He was so amazing. And we had dinner with him, and we went to Disney on Ice like a day or two before. So we had like light up snowballs, and Sam and I would play with them and on the dinner table. And Sam expressed his fascination to lights with me. I've never heard anyone express such fascination with lights, but he was just this kid full of joy and dreams and aspirations, and was so excited to be there with our family. And then all of a sudden, after dinner, And so we must have spent an hour and a half or 2 hours with him during dinner. And after dinner, like when it was time for cleanup, my dad was always in charge of cleanup. He wasn't always at the rituals. And that night after dinner, I remember my older sister cleaning up dinner with my dad, and I assume cleaning up the other stuff as well, because roles would change, you know, as age has progressed. And I believe that towards the end, or like my older sister was, I don't know. That's just an assumption. After dinner, like all of a sudden, real quickly, Sam gets tied up in the hallway of our duplex, and I'm on the right, and the only person I've ever loved in my entire life is on the left. And my mom did not sexually please herself during this ritual. My mom had a very strong sense of urgency. She often had a sense of urgency. And she gave me a knife in my right hand, and she was like, "It's your turn, Kibby. You kill him." And I wouldn't. And I thought she would force me to do it, but that wasn't good enough for her. She wanted me to willingly do it. And she got so mad at me for not doing it. And so I'm thinking, like, one of two things can happen. They're either going to let Sam go or they're going to kill me. And I'm like, okay, like, I'd rather have that happen than for me to kill him. And I didn't do it. And she didn't force me to do it, but rather she made someone else do it. And that's what kills my heart. Like, the worst thing possible could have happened. And then I think that was supposed to be my night for drinking the Kool-Aid. So I think I got out of drinking the Kool-Aid, but somebody else had to. And then a couple of days later, I was forced to eat his flesh. And it wasn't my first time chewing up and spitting out flesh, but it was my first time chewing up and spitting out flesh from a victim that I knew and loved. And I consider that when I don't even want to say drink the Kool-Aid. I consider it more as taking sips, but that's the most traumatic event that also in a way saved me, I feel, because when I was remembering these things, that's the first thing that came up was Sam. And I didn't have my feelings as a child about it, but I got to and recover, and I get to continue to have my feelings about it because it's so painful.
Jeez, oh, Pete's folks, make sure you guys are following people like this that are actually out there willing to listen and hear these stories. This is how sick the world is, and it's brave people like Emma that are out here putting in the work. I'm going to drop her actually Twitter right over here. And she also has a YouTube and a Rumble as well. So if you guys want to see more and hear more of her stories, just swing over. She goes by the Imagination Podcast over on Rumble, and then the Imagination Podcast over on YouTube as well. She's got almost 30,000 over here. So swing over there, show her some love. Well, I don't think anybody of you guys are over on YouTube, but if you guys decide to go over YouTube, I would definitely subscribe to her Rumble. So that is sick. That was tough. I didn't make it all the way to the end of that one last time. And oh man, could you imagine? Like, I don't understand. It's hard for, I think, most people to wrap their heads around, because we weren't raised by parents like that. But when you're 8 years old and your mom's telling you that this is okay and that this is what you need to do, and your family's all around like, yeah, are you going to kill this kid? And you're eating children at your dinner table. Like, as a kid, I just don't know if you understand right and wrong. She obviously was able to make a friendship and a connection with that kid at a very, almost immediately, it sounds like, from the second that she met him. And then when it came time to kill him, she didn't want to because she had that emotional connection to him. But man, could you imagine that? And then having to live with that every day. And that's why I tell people, when they think about, like, oh, I'm having a bad day, I'm in a bad mood, I just tell them, like, think about the top 10 people around the world that are really having a bad day. Like Sam, for example. Imagine being Sam, tied up in a hallway, and a mother standing over you with a knife, handing it to her 9-year-old daughter, telling her to kill you. That kid's having a bad day. You're not even having close to a bad day. So it's like hard for me to to really get upset about too much, because no matter how bad things get, I mean, it's not that bad compared to what these, how these people have it. Now I want to jump over to this debate for a second, and then we got to get into a lot more to unpack here in today's episode. So if you guys are just joining us, if you could please consider rumbling this video. If you guys have not already, swinging over there. Sheila, I see you. Billy C, B.A. Palumbo, Bahab, good to see you. Bad Moon, Moose for Trump, AV 1965, Deb, good to see all you. Thank you guys for showing up today. Who else we got here? We got Patty in the house, Clee in the house, Miss Mocha Powered, good to see you. Natalie, good to see you. Thank you guys for joining us. R-Star, I see you as well. Thank you guys for smashing that like button. If you guys haven't, here comes some heat from President Trump. Now, a lot of people will probably tell you this is AI, but obviously it's not. In case you missed tonight's debate, I broke the entire thing down for you in under a minute. This is Captain Sue, goes by @SueSanDiego. Check this one out. You guys enjoy this one.
My plan is to build a wall, no taxes on tips, increase the child tax credit, and cut the cost of insulin. I believe this will make America great again.
I should just give you a MAGA hat, since all you know how to do is copy me.
You're a racist. You tried to end democracy with the worst event in the history of the universe. You want to end the Constitution. You called veterans suckers and losers. You want to be a dictator with Project to 2025. And you won't let us kill babies.
You let millions of illegals into the country and they're eating pets?
Oh, no, no, that's not true.
Shut up, bitch. I'm speaking. Does that sound familiar? They're eating Fluffy. Believe me, you are fake news. Also, my crowd sizes are huge.
Vote for me if you want to fix all the problems we have now that I haven't fixed, because the former president called some people and told them not to let me fix stuff.
The only reason I came here tonight was to let you make an ass out of your lying self, and you didn't disappoint. Tell Tim to stay away from my horse.
Tell Tim to stay away from my horse. Oh, boy. So if you guys didn't catch the debate last night, it was just atrocious watching the fake news just kind of lose their minds. And watching Trump get attacked by 3-on-1, and everybody saw it, the whole world saw it. So one of the key talking points there that they wouldn't get over is abortions, right? Oh, killing babies, killing babies, killing babies. There's never been anybody that lets anybody kill babies. Well, here's a little story from Kristen Hawkins. Kristen goes by @KristenHawkins over on X. She says, @ABC lied and said late-term abortions don't exist. Everyone needs to watch this video of our Student for Life staff member calling an abortion vendor, proving that late-term abortions are real. This is what Kamala Harris supports. Check it out.
Right, calling the CARE Clinic in Bethesda, Maryland.
Thank you for calling CARE. How can I help you?
I am looking to have an abortion.
How far along are you?
I'm 34 right now. I am in a pretty desperate situation. My boyfriend is kind of out of the picture now, so I don't really have any support.
An abortion at any stage is actually much safer than delivering a term pregnancy. It's a 4 to 5 day procedure. We do some basic lab work on you and start to dilate your cervix. After that, we do what we call the fetal injection. A needle is inserted through the abdomen and into the fetal heart where lidocaine is injected, and that will completely numb the fetus so there's no pain. And then after that, we inject a medication called digoxin and another medication called KCL into the fetal heart, which will slow and then stop the fetal heartbeat. And then on that fourth day, depending on how your cervix is dilated, we'll break your water and then we'll give you a medication called misoprostol. Misoprostol will sort of induce contraction and increase the dilation of your cervix. You're going to have contractions and cramping, and then we'll assist you in sort of pushing in the induction and then remove all of the products of conception. You're definitely going to feel discomfort and cramping and a lot of pressure, but we do give you fentanyl and Versed during the procedure. We specialize in later trimester care. Our doctor is very well versed in what he's doing and he's very good.
So I'm not like a rare situation. Y'all help women this late in pregnancy all the time?
All the time.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. Who was it? Tina, God bless you. Thank you for pre-ordering that documentary. Yes, if you've pre-ordered it for $9.99, you guys will be able to have instant access once it's live. You'll actually have access to both documentaries. There's going to be two of them. For $14.99, you'll also have access to all 35 of the full interviews. There's about 22 up there right now. Our editors are still working on getting all the rest of them done, but those will be up there in the next week and a half. So those, once you've purchased the documentary, just log out and log back in with the same email. When you purchase, it asks for an email and a password. That's going to be your email and password to log in. So you'll be able to log back in there on Friday. The documentary will be up on our website live. And that's where you'll be able to view it, is right on our website. So thank you guys all so much for pre-ordering. And then we're also going to be selling DVDs and copies too as well. So if you guys want to get any copies, perfect for stocking stuffers and sending to your liberal friends who think that, you know, voting for Kamala is the right decision. Well, you should send them a copy of this child trafficking documentary, because it's going to be hard to watch. It's going to be fast in the beginning, and then we're going to slow the pace down. For the first 25 minutes, it's just nonstop, just raw in your face truth about what's being done to these children. And then it goes to slow down, and we're going to go into four or five separate parts where you're going to hear these longer form conversations with these whistleblowers that are going to tell you exactly what happened and what is happening to these kids. So God bless you guys. And then right after that, me and JJ, so we fly out on Friday to do the premiere. And then on Sunday, JJ's flying in here to immediately start recording Invasion. And that's going to be our big masterpiece. This child trafficking one was just specifically to get it out and get it out as fast as humanly possible. Obviously, it's going to be good. But, you know, if I would have had another 2 months to edit this thing, it would have, you know, been absolutely out of this world. But we don't even have time to do one revision. I don't even have the full thing yet. It's going live in 2 days, and I haven't even watched the entire thing yet. I get it back from my editor tonight at 10 o'clock. So that gives us 24 hours to maybe adjust the two or three things. But it's so important that we get these kids freed and we start bringing some massive, massive attention to these children. Because Rep. Anna Paulina Luna, just a few minutes ago, I don't know if you guys have seen that yet. I was just hammering her. Everybody is. It's almost embarrassing at this point. But let me just pull this up for you guys. Like, how embarrassing this. An hour ago, Rep. Luna tweets out, the U.S. government has lost over 85,000 migrant children under Biden-Harris. Where do these people live? And what would incentivize you to tweet that out? Out of all things you could tweet out, why are you tweeting out inaccurate data that's so far inaccurate? Is it the fact that you don't want to admit that 240,000 of those children have vanished since you guys took the power of the purse? Well, don't worry. Our boy Ultra MAGA Max is working on a zinger for you. He's made a compilation. It's going to be coming out tomorrow or the next day to tag along with this. We're going to promote the crap out of it. And it's the power of the purse. So Max has gone around and probably done his thing where he's collected all of the times that Republicans lectured us on using power of the purse, power of the purse, power of the purse. No. 85,000 children were missing before Republicans took office, Miss Luna. 240,000 more have gone since you scumbags, you rhino sleazebags in Congress. Not saying Luna is, I actually like Luna, but it irritates me. It irks me when they just constantly, like, this is the biggest laser pointer. This is the hand. When you keep talking about the cat will chase the laser pointer around the room all day long, every day until the cat dies, and never once will it attack your hand. That's what all of these distractions are. It's just laser pointers. Chase this one, chase this one, chase this one. 325,000 children are the hand. That one crime right there can take down this entire administration and every single person, every bureaucrat, every agency. They're all making money hand over fist by extorting these our tax dollars from the American citizens. And that's it. And that's why Treason Invaded is going to be the real masterpiece of this. This one, we're going to have a little bit more time and two of us working on scripting it. So it's going to be really impressive. So thank you guys all for the pre-orders. God bless you guys. We also just got off a phone call with Rumble as well. So if you guys didn't purchase it already and you would like to watch it on your TVs or your desktops, we're also going to be having a version that'll be a pay-per-view version on Rumble. So if you guys just want to buy it one time and watch it, you can do that as well. We'll also, again, have the DVDs too. So whatever viewing experience you guys want to get, I suggest doing it on a TV or, you know, if you got a computer with good audio, definitely if you're going to watch it on your computer, I suggest putting in headphones because that's, the music is so important in having that full surround sound experience so you can hear all the sound effects and the transitions that really help tell the story. Definitely recommend if that is the case. So let's keep this moving. So back to the debate. Sorry, I get sidetracked talking about the documentary. Back to this debate. So we're talking about abortions, right? And a lot of people were like, wow, is that really Kamala Harris? I don't know. I'm not opposed to that being an actor. I think with the CIA and the mask and everything that these people do, to think that they couldn't have a voice disguiser and make that sound exactly like Kamala, in my personal opinion, is naive. I think there's no way in hell that woman could stand on that stage and not cackle. She can't even have a conversation with a reporter and not have a full-on meltdown. So she was pretty dialed in there. Now, it could have been from just rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing. Maybe. But I don't think a moron as stupid as Kamala Harris could even dial that in. Which leads me to believe that that was an actor in a mask, in a skin suit, like we all seen a million times. And, or this is the other option. This is another possibility. This is definitely what happened. I mean, obviously.
So take a look at this video really quick, just one more time, because this one right here is by Emerald Fudd again. And he goes by at ELMR underscore FUDD underscore again, again over on X. So Elmer underscore Fudd underscore again. It says, within a few hours, VP is busted and exposed. Now watch her earrings here.
My plan is to build a wall, no taxes on tips, increase the child tax credit, and cut the cost of My plan is to build a wall, see no taxes on tips, increase the child tax credit, and cut.
So those are those pearl earrings. Now, again, Elmer Fudd said, within hours, VP is exposed and busted. What does that mean?
If you thought earrings were merely a fashion statement, think again. Nova's H1 Audio earrings is the world's first wireless earphones made with real pearls. Unlike conventional earrings, these earrings are placed on the earlobes and project the sound from inside the pearl straight into your ear canal. This directional sound technology can avoid sound leakage and keep conversations and music private and secure.
Like, I don't fuck with you. You little stupid ass bitch, I ain't fucking with you.
They are just getting destroyed. I was watching that. I go, oh my gosh, he's going to get destroyed tomorrow on social media. Every angle, every question was a lie. It was scripted. It was 7-on-1 or it was 3-on-1 and just attack, 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 attack. Next, we had the ducks, right? Next, we had the ducks. So our man over here, Taylor, he's got a new name now that they're not working with Tenet Media. He's going by at Taylor USA. And he says, Springfield, Ohio, lifelong resident details how she discovered a decapitated pig head in Sydney Park where the goose abduction allegations are coming from, and explains how the city is trying to pass it off as culture stuff, cult stuff. Multiple people. She knows have had experiences with Haitian immigrants saying they are going to curse them with voodoo. Yikes.
There's been a lot of allegations of animals going missing, you know, ducks being basically taken. Yes, sir. Taken.
There's pictures of that too.
Can you speak on that? Have you ever seen that in person?
The only thing I've seen, I did see a pig's head laying down in Snyder Park.
You saw a pig's head?
A pig's head.
Like it had been cut off? Or?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's, you don't really see that every day, do you?
No, you don't. It's kind of surprising.
Wow.
But then our city wants to pass it off as cult stuff.
As cult stuff?
Yeah.
Do you think that has anything to do with, you know, like the connections with voodoo that Haitians commonly have? I mean, in Haiti,
well,
it's
there's
a very
actually,
commonly practiced thing.
I'm sorry. There's actually been a couple people that I know that have been told that they were going to be cursed by voodoo.
By Haitians?
By Haitians.
So that actually is a real thing here.
Yes.
And them practicing voodoo with animals,
yes.
Pig's head.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's, you don't hear that every day. That's crazy. How long have you been a resident of Springfield, Ohio?
My entire 58 years.
Your entire 58 years.
Yes, so sir.
You look a day over 20, okay?
Thanks.
How would you describe what's going on here in Springfield? What are your concerns? What brings you out to City Hall today?
My concerns are security, mostly for the women in this town, the young girls. I've been accosted. I've been groped. I've been followed. I don't leave my house unless I'm armed and have my pit bull. And I couldn't bring them down here, but luckily I knew there was a bunch of people. The education system, it's terrible. And we've got adults going to school at the high school.
Can you explain that a little
bit? There were fights the first day. There are illegals. They're from 19 to 23 years old going to our high school.
It's a little unusual. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
My 10-year-old granddaughter has a 16-year-old in her class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does that raise safety concerns for you?
It raises many safety concerns for me. And like I said, all the women and females in Springfield, I don't care how old you are. Obviously, I'm 58 and I've been accosted.
Can you explain kind of what happened in that situation?
Well, I have lived on the south end of Springfield my whole entire life. It is, the majority of the population is black. I've never had any problems. I was at a store a few days ago on South Limestone Street. I was attacked. I was called racist because I'm white. That was their reasoning, because I'm white.
This is the sad state of America, folks. Pig's head's getting chopped off, so it reminds me of a story.
We have these haunted places in Michigan. I don't know if you've ever been a kid and like you're 16, you get your license and you go out exploring and you find these haunted places. Well, this one home, they call it the Donovan home. I think it was in the 1960s. This family had a mentally ill child that autism, maybe got vaccinated, one too many jabs, who knows, but he was mentally challenged and the family would chain him out to the tree in the front yard because he would run away and he'd break into houses and he was just a troubled kid and they couldn't control him. So during the day, the parents would chain him to a tree. And this was the story anyways. And I don't know if it's true, but this was the ghost story, right? They chained this kid to the tree and around the tree, they actually had two trees that they would chain him to. And you could definitely see, and maybe it was part of the story, maybe it was just kids who did that, but you could see the, like around the bark of the tree where something was wrapped around it that constantly rubbed on it, you know, and wore out that bark. And you could see how it kind of grew up the tree. And it was in multiple different places. And the story was that they would chain him out and chain him in the backyard during the day so he couldn't run anywhere. And they would beat him. And they were just really, really mean to this kid. So one day his parents were sleeping. He went out to the back shed and he got a can of gasoline. And he came inside and he burnt the house down and he basically dumped the gas all over his parents. And when they woke up, he lit them on fire. And then he burnt the house down with himself, his sister, and his parents in it. So there's this shed out back and you go there around Halloween time, right? Like that's the best time to take people. It's just super, super creepy. And when you step onto the grounds, it's almost like you can park in the road and it's a certain temperature. And then as soon as you step onto that property, it instantly gets like 10 degrees colder. It's the weirdest feeling. Well, probably right around Halloween time. And we went out there, me and my buddy took these two girls out there and you could get on the property and park. It's on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere in a big farm town. And supposedly his parents owned this entire stretch of the road. So there's houses across the street. It's on a dirt road. There's a house every, you know, quarter or half a mile. It's farm town. So they're far apart. But on the other side of the road, there's nothing except for this house. It's just abandoned and farmland and woods and that's it. But there's a shed in the backyard. That's supposedly where the gas was. So we went over there to see what was in the shed. And when we opened the shed, somebody had cut off the head of a pig. And there was like a spike. I don't know, it's an old place. So maybe they had spikes in the back of the door to like hang tools and stuff. So these were metal spikes. And the pig's head was cut off and just spiked to the inside of the door. So when we opened it, there was just a pig's head there with a bunch of like satanic stars and all this stuff. And there was a circle of salt on the ground inside the shed. It was really creepy. It was the last time we ever went to that haunted house. The last time we really went to any haunted house. That was really quite the interesting experience. But so it's just not in Springfield, Ohio. These suckers are everywhere and there's sick people everywhere. Maybe it was just a prank. Maybe it wasn't. But what's really happening is this. New Americans, right? Hide your kids, hide your cats, hide your dogs. They're killing everybody out here. And that's it, folks. That is this disgustingness that is America. Now, Benny Johnson tweeted out our man Tyler's stuff again. He says, AB News, there is no evidence of migrants eating pets. YouTuber, here's 30 minutes of firsthand accounts of residents in Springfield, Ohio, where many live, saying that their pets are disappearing. ABC News, let's talk about climate change.
Don't wave at me, you sorry sand monkey.
There was Haitians in a white van driving around the neighborhoods collecting cats, skinning them and eating them.
In my opinion, they're worthless. Bunch of worthless f***ing sand monkeys.
They're getting thousands of dollars in government assistance. Even the cash assistance cards. They're calling them the magic money cards because they never run out.
Man, they're nothing but a headache. All they're doing is raising our rent and our taxes and wrecking vehicles.
Everybody wants to make this into a race issue. It's not a race issue. It's culture, it's accountability, and it's respect.
Since June, they took me off of, I'm a vet. They took me off of the disability.
You're a veteran and you're competing with some of the resources they're getting. You just came in here?
Yeah.
I need some solutions. I'm losing my mind.
This is Springfield, Ohio. What was once a small town in Ohio, home to roughly 60,000 working class Americans, until 20,000 plus Haitian immigrants flooded into town with rumors of them eating the neighbor's cats and local geese.
What did you do? Why'd you kill the cat? Did you eat that cat?
Now, why'd you kill it?
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
And causing car accidents left and right, and driving locals out of their homes by paying above-market rental prices with welfare subsidized by the American taxpayer. Are these Haitians eating cats? How did they travel 2,000-plus miles from Haiti all the way to Ohio? And do the locals and their new Haitian neighbors get along? I pulled up to Springfield myself to see if this was real or overblown fake news.
A lot of this is alleged, because I truly don't know what's going on, and neither does Twitter.
Yeah, well, he figured out exactly what was going on, exactly what Trump said was going on, and the fake news tries to deny it. They didn't touch on the car accidents too much because I couldn't imagine what it's going to cost you for insurance if you live in this town. Oh boy, the Haitians are driving. I can see it, baby. What do you guys think? Fake news? Here's another oldie but goodie. Meanwhile, in Springfield again, this shit is getting old, folks. How? How is this possible? Oh, that's right, because our government imported 50 million illegal immigrants into our country on your tax dollars. Sad state of affairs in America, isn't it? Well, let's change it up a little bit. Let's go into a little bit of lighthearted comedy here. Our man Alex Stein goes by AlexStein99. Pimp on a Blimp over on X says, I was just attacked at City Hall in New York for trying to expose the lies we were told about 9/11.
Hello, my name is Alex Stein. I'm here in New York City, all the way from Dallas, Texas, on the 23rd anniversary of the terror attacks that happened on September 11th, 2001.
So
these buildings were owned by the Port
Authority.
It's about the Port Authority, Amanda. It's about the Port Authority. Do not try to shut me down. Now, on the 23rd anniversary,
the Port Authority.
Yeah, I am talking about the Port Authority. The Port Authority owned these buildings. They sold them to Larry Silverstein for a very cheap price. If you look into Tower 7, it looked like a controlled demolition. University of Alaska at Fairbanks did a study on this, and they said that the way that these buildings fell looked clearly like a controlled demolition. So we need to look into the Port Authority on why they were able to sell these buildings so cheaply. Now, if you do some research, if you do some research into the Port Authority, let me talk about the Port Authority. If you do some research into these towers, they had irreparable asbestos. Not only were they basically totaled because the price to fix this asbestos made the buildings worthless.
I'd like to reiterate that while you are talking about the Port Authority,
yes, I am. Quit shutting me down. Are you going
to
stop the clock? I'm here to. I'm here to bring up 9/11 truth, and you're trying to stop me because you don't like this.
Listen,
are you the same person that said the EPA?
NYC Ferries development and its ticketing system?
Hey, are the ferries under the Port Authority's jurisdiction?
And the possibility of it being an NYC
Ferries
stop?
Listen, you're trying to hide the truth. If you look into 9/11, you guys lied. You said the air was okay. The EPA said the air was fine on September 11th, and all those firefighters that got cancer and died. What do you care about them? What do you think about those? What do you think about all the people? No,
this
it's not my
is
time.
Focus on NYC ferry system.
Let me guess. What is going on? Let me grab my phone. I'll leave. Can I get my phone? Guys, grab my phone. I'll leave.
Keep going.
What is going on? Why are you touching me? I'm leaving. Can I have my phone?
You're welcome. We'll bring you your phone.
What is going on? You guys don't care about 9/11 truth? Throwing me, touching me? Why are you grabbing me like that? Let me have my phone.
There you go.
This is ridiculous.
Keep walking.
Listen, I'm leaving. Stop touching me. I'm leaving. Don't push me downstairs, dude. Yes, you are, dude. What is going on? You guys are sick. Quit pushing me. I'm going downstairs. I'm going downstairs, dude. Get off me. This is ridiculous, dude. They're kicking me out, Joe. All for talking about 9/11.
Dude, what are you guys doing? Dude, quit touching me. You guys are sick. Investigate 9/11, dude. You guys are pathetic. Stop touching me.
Please exit.
I'm gonna exit. Okay, you don't need to keep touching. Dude, what are you doing? I'm going downstairs.
Keep going.
Let me walk down the stairs. Gosh, trying to push me downstairs. You guys are gonna hear from my attorney. You guys are all gonna hear from my attorney. What do y'all think this is? Kangaroo court? I'm allowed to speak at a city meeting. You guys are gonna hear from my attorney. All of you guys are gonna hear from my attorney.
Gotta keep going.
Look into 9/11 truth. That's what I want. They lied about the attacks on 9/11. They said the air was fine. And look at all the firefighters that died of cancer. You guys are scumbags. You guys are scumbags. What about all the people that died of cancer? You said the air was fine. What about their families? No father at Christmas. You guys are scumbags.
Get them, Alex. Get them, Alex. Alex should have definitely fell down those steps. If he would have just tripped there, it would have been undisputable. There would have been no other camera angles. It would have looked just like he pushed and tripped him down the stairs. And he could have been, oh, my back. Oh, call 911, my back. Oh, my gosh, you bastards. He pushed me down the stairs. Did you see that? I want your badge number and your gun and your insurance policy. That's what I would have did. Barry Jennings was killed shortly after exposing the truth on 9/11. You guys remember this?
Well, me and Mr. Hesh, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh. I said, this is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here.
In 2001, Barry Jennings was the deputy director of emergency services for the New York City Housing Authority. After the first plane hit the North Tower at 8:46 a.m. on the morning of 9/11, Jennings was called to the city's Office of Emergency Management in World Trade Center Building 7, along with Corporation Counsel Michael Hess, to help coordinate the emergency response. Hours later, World Trade Center Building 7, also known as the Salomon Brothers Building, collapsed at free fall acceleration directly into the path of most resistance. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. In September 2008, just as NIST was presenting its final report concluding that WTC-7 had spontaneously collapsed from ordinary office fires, it was reported that Barry Jennings had passed away in hospital the month before. No further details of his death were offered. Dylan Avery, seeking to bring closure to Barry Jennings' life, answer questions about his death, and honor the bravery of a 9/11 survivor who spoke the truth even when it was unpopular, hired a private investigator to determine the circumstances of Jennings' death. In a remarkable and bizarre turn of events, however, after pursuing the case, the investigator referred the matter to the police, refunded his fee, and told Avery never to contact him again. To this day, no time or cause of death of Barry Jennings has ever been publicly announced or confirmed.
The man stepped over bodies. We know that happened. He and Hess both talked about internal explosions. That building housed the CIA, the Secret Service, the SEC.
I'm just confused about one thing and one thing only. Why World Trade Center 7 went down in the first place. I'm very confused about that. I know what I heard. I heard explosions.
Oh yeah, he did, folks. He definitely heard those explosions. And now he's no longer with us because our government is rotted to the core. Absolutely rotted to the core. I don't think anybody's debating that anymore. I think everybody's on the same page that we're just like, yeah, our government is rotted to the absolute core, folks. You know what's not rotted? Check this out. Let's talk about our sponsors, Armra Colostrum. Are you guys ready to revive your health? How about we transform your health starting at its foundation? Armra Colostrum protects, rebuilds, and strengthens your body's barriers for best defense against everyday threats and enhanced volatility. We all know that modern living in Kamala's America really breaks down your immune barriers. Well, guess what? Armra harnesses the power of 400-plus functional, research-backed nutritions. Armra Colostrum offers transformational benefits for the body's best health and performance. Strengthen your immune barriers, optimize your microbiome, and empower your body with a blueprint to revitalize your health from the inside out. When you take Armra Colostrum, you are giving your body the best protection against everyday toxins, pollutants, allergens, and processed ingredients, paving the way for optimal health and volatility. So check this out. We worked out a special offer just for the LFA audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/LFA or enter LFA to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/LFA. And up next, folks, is our friends over at Done With Debt. Are you guys ready to get yourself out of debt and take your life back? Well, guess what? These debt traps that you're stuck in, These debt traps that you're stuck in, you didn't cause them. They're definitely not your fault. You didn't cause inflation and you didn't set gas prices or jack up those credit card rates. So the thing with these debt traps is they're going to destroy your life if you don't get out now. And the only company I recommend is Done With Debt. Done With Debt are brilliant debt relief strategists. First, they stand between you and your bill collectors. Then they negotiate a plan to get you out of debt permanently without bankruptcy, without taking out any loans. But listen, some of these strategies are time sensitive. So you need to contact Done With Debt right now, like today. This couldn't be easier, folks. Just get a free consultation, share what you're dealing with, and they'll be able to explain a strategy to erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Go to donewithdebt.com. Folks, that is donewithdebt.com. And if you get time, swing over to the LFA merch store. There's no better way to support us over here on LFA than directly in our merch store. You guys can grab some of that legendary roasted pecan coffee hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, you name it. We got it over there on the LFA merch store. And you guys can support us right over there. You guys can make donations directly on our website if you want to help keep those lights on over here at LFA TV. You can also drop those super chats right here in the live chat as well. And if you'd like to support us directly on Matter of Fact, you guys can do so by stacking some Bitcoin. My affiliate links are down below in the description. You guys know me. I keep 100% of my wealth in Bitcoin. No need for that dirty fiat dollars or those shiny gold rocks. But I do got some of those shiny gold rocks too. I don't lie. Actually, some of those shiny silver rocks, as they call that. Those shiny silver rocks. Maybe. It was been a great investment, so I can't hate on gold. And if everything goes down, which what we think is going to happen in the next couple months with some crazy news coming out about the gold, I think we might see gold prices skyrocket. So I digress, folks. We are back over here live on LFA TV. Let's swing over to the live chat. Ellie May coming in hot says, please remember to support Ryan. Rumble green. Thank you guys. If you guys could just swing down there and make sure that those rumble buttons are turned green. I can't tell how many people are in the audience. It's only showing me that one person is watching the stream. I don't know what's going on with Rumble over here today. But we got one person watching, but I definitely think we got a lot of likes. We got like 244 likes, 246 and climbing. So God bless you guys. We probably got over 1,000 people in here if we got that many likes. So thank you guys big time. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Let's keep this train a rolling. More truce from 9/11. You guys remember this one? Check this out. This is by Not a Number. They go by at My Hidden Value. If you haven't seen or aren't following this page, they're putting out a ton. I mean, like 50 posts per day. I can't even keep up. Their content's off the hook.
It is wrong, blasphemous, and sinful for you to suggest, imply, or help other people come to the conclusion that the U.S. government killed 3,000 of its own citizens.
This was the result of something that was planned. It's not accidental that the first tower just happened to collapse and then the second tower just happened to collapse in exactly the same way. How they accomplished this, we don't know.
The building collapsed to dust. You don't find a desk. You don't find a chair. You don't find a telephone, a computer. The biggest piece of a telephone I found was half of the keypad, and it was about this big.
What happened to the concrete?
The concrete was pulverized from river to river. There was dust, powder, 2-3 inches thick. The concrete was just pulverized.
In addition to those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
I heard a second explosion.
There was a heavy-duty explosion.
Then there was secondary explosions and then the subsequent collapses.
The explosion blew and it knocked everybody over.
To me, it sounded like an explosion.
It sounded like gunfire.
Bang, 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 bang.
And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
We heard a big explosion coming down.
And then the entire top of the building just blew up.
We saw some kind of explosion.
By the force of the explosion.
Big explosion. Back into the 8th floor.
Then we get to the lobby. This is a big explosion.
The lobby looked as though a bomb had exploded there.
A huge explosion now raining debris.
It's been a huge explosion.
Huge explosion that we all heard and felt.
We just witnessed some kind of follow-up explosion.
We heard a very loud blast explosion.
That is another bomb going off. He thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building.
Evidence was also apparently planted.
The passport of one of the hijackers on Flight 11 was allegedly found in the rubble.
Goes through the fireball, through the side of the plane, and comes down to the ground unscathed. But something happened. For 6 months, they reported they had this passport. Boy, we've got it. We've got the proof. And then the guy stood up and was alive.
Several of these 19 men are still alive. Pancake theory. According to which the fires, while not melting the steel, heated it up sufficiently to cause the floors weakened by the airplane strikes to break loose from the steel columns. And this started a chain reaction.
So you would expect then from that theory, which is the official theory, to see a whole stack of floors piled up on top of each other and then a spindle of core columns standing too.
The core of each of the twin towers consisted of 47 massive steel columns. If the floors had broken loose from them, these columns would have still been sticking up into the air 1,000 feet.
The plane did not cut all those core columns.
We designed the buildings to take the impact of the Boeing 707 hitting the building at any location.
The building probably could sustain multiple impacts of jetliners.
That the plane flew straight into the building.
Right.
So you're saying that the building was actually designed to cope with a hole like that and
right.
then still
yeah.
survive?
Yeah, it was.
If you had dropped, say, a billiard ball from the top of the World Trade Center, 110 floors up there, it would have taken 8 to 10 seconds to hit the ground, encountering no resistance whatsoever.
The Twin Towers came down in nearly free fall speed. 200,000 tons of steel shatters and explodes outwards over 500 feet.
This means that floors shattered at an average rate of about 10 floors per second.
There is no scenario for a pancake effect of buildings falling that allows them to fall at the rate of free fall.
Now what can do that? What can move mass out of the way? Explosives. Forty-seven huge steel columns going up the core, and they're interconnected. How do you get them to fail simultaneously so the core disappears? It looks like those core columns were cut.
The way we do this is by cutting the beam at an angle.
I started looking at the molten metal. All three buildings, both towers in the rubble, in the basement areas, and building 7, there's these pools of molten metal.
You'd get down below and you'd see molten steel. Molten steel running down the channel rails. Like you're in a foundry.
The molten steel was found 3, 4, and 5 weeks later, when the rubble was being removed. He said that molten steel was also found underneath World Trade Center 7.
So I'm looking through the official reports. What do they say about the molten metal? They say nothing. Now, wait a minute. This is important evidence. So where did that come from? Thermite is so hot that it'll just cut through steel, through structural steel, for example, like a knife through butter. The products are molten iron and aluminum oxide, which goes off primarily as a dust. You know those enormous dust clouds? You can imagine when you assemble these chemicals on a large scale.
That's a lot to take in, right? Our government, Moosefer Trump says, our government is so evil. You nailed that one, my friend. And JV says, I remember news reporters asking where the president was because he was AWOL for hours and had not spoken to the press or anyone for hours. Wasn't he supposedly at the kids' retreat or at the kids' school? And it was perfectly filmed and all the kids put it on and Bush just had that weird look on his face? Or is that the fact that Jeffrey Epstein had photos of George Bush sitting like a little kid throwing airplanes? Huh. It's almost like Israel had all this dirt on all of our politicians, and maybe that's the only reason that Trump didn't release the 9/11 report. Maybe. But Jake Shields said this is a must-watch Trump video. So Jake Shields says this is a must-watch video of Donald Trump for September 11, 2001. He believed the towers were bombed.
The World World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong building. Don't forget, that took a big bomb in the basement. Now, the basement is the most vulnerable place because that's your foundation. And it withstood that. And I got to see that area about 3 or 4 days after it took place because one of my structural engineers actually took me for a tour because he did the building. And I said, I can't believe it. The building was standing solid and half of the columns were blown out. I mean, so this was an unbelievably powerful building. If you know anything about structure, it was one of the first buildings that was built from the outside. The steel, the reason the World Trade Center had such narrow windows is that in between all the windows, you had the steel on the outside. So you had the steel on the outside of the building. That's why when I first looked, and you had big, heavy I-beams, when I first looked at it, I couldn't believe it because there was a hole in the steel. And this is steel that was, you remember the width of the windows of the World Trade Center, folks? I think, you know, if you were ever up there, they were quite narrow. And in between was this heavy steel. I said, how could a plane, even a 767 or 747 or whatever it might have been, how could it possibly go through the steel? I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously, because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall. Most buildings are built with the steel is on the inside around the elevator shaft. This one was built from the outside, which is the strongest structure you can have, and it was almost just like a can of soup.
You know, Donald, we were looking at pictures all morning long of that plane coming into building number 2, and when you see that approach the far side, and then all of a sudden, within a matter of a millisecond, the explosion pops out the other side.
Right. I just think that it was a plane with more than just fuel. I think, obviously, they were very big planes. They were going very rapidly because I was also watching where the plane seemed to be not only going fast, it seemed to be coming down into the building. So it was getting the speed from going downhill, so to speak. It just seemed to me that to do that kind of destruction is even more than a big plane because you're talking about taking out steel, the heaviest caliber steel that was used on a building. I mean, these buildings were rock solid. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing. This country is different today.
So another thing a lot of people don't know is that when we were all watching that and they were playing the videos of the planes flying in, the plane would fly in and then they were replacing the video of the building collapsing because the audio, you could hear the so they actually swapped out that audio. And they eliminated all that noise. So what you were actually watching wasn't the actual real footage. But if you go back and watch these independent people who have now been posting these videos online and reposting them, you can actually hear everything that was actually taking place. So it's very, very interesting. And somebody asked why. They understand they believe it, but why? Just money. I mean, at the end of the day, the Pentagon was getting audited. So that congressional review was... the report came out, the day before 9/11 or like 3 days before 9/11? It was something really, really close to 9/11. And they just did a report like there's like $3 billion missing from the Pentagon. Well, that just doesn't go missing. That's fraud. That's waste. That's abuse. That's neglect. That's corruption. So think about the most powerful people in the military industrial complex that have managed to basically extort $3 trillion of our tax money, whether that's in the black markets or whatever, wherever that money goes. I don't know, but it was gone. And then all of a sudden 9/11 happens and it wasn't brought up again until what? Gosh, like 20 years later was when the next time we tried to audit the Pentagon. And again, they're missing another, what is it? $3 trillion again. So I don't know, but I just don't understand is where is the investigations? Why is nobody investigating this? I don't know. Now, the last thing I want to throw at you is by our man, Ezra Truth, our Ezra. I forget what his name is. Give me 1 second. Let me pull it up here. Shadow of Ezra tweeted out and he says, President Donald Trump says that he's going to set up military tribunals for the people that have done this to our country. And he says, who are these people getting off Air Force One or Trump Force One?
Patriotic and less bellicose. That's President Trump's challenge. I think for Vice President Harris, she's got to convey a calmness. She's got to convey a leadership and be able to talk to your point, Bill, about
Trump don't look like he's rolling around without protection anymore, does he? Should we run that back and just get excited about who Trump might have on his plane?
Bellicose. That's President Trump's challenge.
I like seeing these men a lot better than I like seeing these women that can't holster a weapon. Let's go, baby. Trump 2024. Hazel Kitty coming in hot says there was a video of a man sitting on the ground level, and you can see the plane flying above him into the tower, and the sound was delayed. So was his reaction. Can't find that anymore. Oh, no way. I wish I would have seen that. Thank you for the super chat, Hazel Kitty. And somebody else dropped a super chat in here as well. I meant to pull that up earlier and I skimmed by it. Carol the Cowgirl says, I had to walk through some old barns to check for animal use, and there was a pentagram on one of the floors and the candles and a dead cat. I got out of there and ended up raising the barn. Oh, no way. Oh, gross. That's crazy. That's creepy. Well, God bless each and every one of you guys. Thank you so much for the super chats. Hopefully you guys have a fantastic day. If you did not enjoy the show, I promise there is a show over here on LFA TV that you will enjoy. So please consider smashing that like button, sharing this content. Up next is the Flyover Conservatives, followed by a stacked lineup of shows all day over here on LFA TV and a stacked lineup on the weekend. So please consider smashing that like button. Rumble this video on the way out the door today. If you could, it'll really help us push this out to the algorithm. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless Donald Trump. We out. Peace.
Run.